evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk coming to you live. It is 1-2-2020. And just as they duped me up right before the show and wouldn't let me get on the Skype. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous for what these people do to try to prevent the word from getting out, or for anybody who loves Lord Jesus, talk about him on air while telling you the truth as best you can and warning you what's coming. So here I am out of the woodwork, coming to you live on the Little Talkie. And it's just amazing what the heck goes on. And won't even let me get on Skype anymore. You know, it's ridiculous. So maybe I'll be able to hook back up at some point here, but it's crazy, you know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to say this to you. Last Friday, I was so sick I could hardly walk. It was the strangest thing. And it just brings up some of the things in mind about what the possibilities are for the future. And I know Dave Hodges had a report there about how Ebola might prove to be one of the ways they're going to do the martial law, the false flag, all of that. Now, for years, Brother Quayle talked about Ebola pox and Ebola and went into the Macquarie group out of Australia, perfected an Ebola-type cross between a mouse pox and Ebola. And how that had about a 99% kill ratio. And I know he talked about all kind of stuff with the vaccines and all of that years ago. Then as you fast forwarded, we came up into about 2008, 2009, 2010, where the swine flu and the bird flu supposedly was combining in Mexico. And then, as I recall, our brother up there, John, who had the radio station up in Montana up there, we did the whole special deal on it, where everybody fought against the new items that were being talked about, you know, at the time. And so it was a... I'm just looking at my stupid computer. Skype now is coming on, supposedly. Anyway, so we talked about, and they had all the different people from the bio research firms. And Brother Quayle did a session. I did a session on air. They then had the big meetings up there with a lot of speakers and all of that. It was really a big thing to try to fight against the release of something which back then we did find in the research that specific flu or whatever they had created down there in Mexico that was starting to spread, that had been created in a lab over, I believe, as I recall, in Poland by one of the vaccine makers. We've also found in the past where some of the vaccines and things that they took into Africa, then actually after they gave the vaccines, they spread... Ebola or the different items that they had. So it's one of those things that I've always thought that might be one of the possibilities. If they want to kill everybody and to do it quick, they feel they're behind schedule or something, they might release it. But at the same time, they're scared to death of it, the powers that be, because some of the people don't know which strain is going to be released, and they think they have antibodies against it in their system, and they may not, or this or that or the other. So in terms of that, you start to get a sense where it will go totally wild weasel and get away from them. So I think they always have more wanted to possibly do what I've talked about for years, which is the power grid down, knock out all the power grid, not just with the computerized thing, but with a nuclear, an EMP device or two exploded over the center of the United States, over any country, and knock out the power grids, and then knock out most all of the automobiles, computers and brain boxes, and also most all of the computers And with the exception of those that if you've got maybe an EMP protection or something on it, it might work. It may not work also, depending how big the thing is, you know. I don't know exactly about all of that, but in terms of the possibility that a lot of cars and roads will be parking lots at some point here, I suspect that it won't make that much difference. If your car works, but if there's 10 million other cars on I-40 or on I-70 or I-80 or I-10 or I-5 or I-95 or I-75 or I-72 or I-24 or whatever your particular branch is, you know, then what you'll find is this. You'll find that you won't be able to go anywhere because everybody else will be stuck on the road. And if you don't have a big, giant bulldozer, then you're not going to be able to get through because you're going to have to knock them back off. You know what I mean? So it's something that is quite readily seen in the book One Second After by William R. Forstchen. F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N, and it doesn't make any difference with that, but after they do, for congressional testimony, after they do the knock out the total power grid, and then if it stays off for 12 months or more, at 12 months, 90% of the population of the United States will have died anyway. Just from turning off all the power, because it will all go nuts and totally crazy. You can't pump gasoline, you can't get refrigeration, you don't have electric lights, you don't have computers, you can't run your car, blah, 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 unless you've got an old-fashioned car, you know, unless you got an old Dodge Power Wagon or an old F-100, 150, or old Chevy Apache or something like that, when you got points and plugs. Those cars will run. The diesel tractors and stuff would run. So in terms of that, you're basically sent back into the late 1800s, somewhere in there, possibly, well, actually earlier than that, because you had electric light as early as, you know, the 95 and that kind of stuff in Biltmore House in North Carolina. It had full electrical in 1895. So that particular thing, I think, is still the most likely. And or some takeout of some cities with actual nuclear weapons in the United States. Or terrorist attacks with nuclear weapons or with some other destructive capability. But you could also, as we recall, take the power grid out if you take down 9 of the key power substations in the United States with conventional means. And we saw that a few years ago when all in California there, they shot out all of the transformers on the big power substation and the power went down. Then actually they also had gone into the, through the tunnel, into the secret tunnel to where they had the sensors and the different alarm codes that would ring when the transformers went down. In other words, the security part of it, and it shut that off as well so that they couldn't, couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous. Anyway, I'm still trying to get online here because they're trying to prevent me from get on or do anything. All right, finally, that's on. At some point in time, maybe we can reacquire with this. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say this. Is that tonight I'm going to talk to you about a couple different things that I've seen. And obviously the Middle East is a big problem right now, and that the United States is not screwing around, so to speak, because it is sending a whole lot of 82nd Airborne over. And then not only that, but we're sending the F-A-18 Hornets, we're sending the C-17 transports, filled up with stuff. We got all the things rolling towards that area, and it's going to be something else here that you cannot believe at the ready in terms of capability. So we are not in a position where we can't do something about it over there. He's already put in more Marines in the thing, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't understand why anybody, any of our embassies, that we allow any person to come on, okay, and to do anything to just a second.
Are you there, brother? All right, roger that. Now we're back live on here, ladies and gentlemen. We're back live, and we're on the on more of a Skype scenario with a better, perhaps a better sound. Consequently, I had to take a couple minutes to do that. So let's just see here where we're at. Okay, now we're going. So anyway, thing I was going to say is this. Why in the heck do we even let them get that close or to start setting fire? Why doesn't somebody light the people up, man? If the Iraqi guards leave and take off, then so be it, you know. Then you have the right to defend your own embassy if they're not going to defend it for you, you know. And it's just one of those things that, you know, it's just crazy. And so all I know is that I don't understand why the Marines just don't light them up, because they don't have the – they're not allowing them to do it. Now, the other thing, there was a train derailment in Idaho, and it went into a river or went into water there by the tracks, and then it's also one of the main lines that runs Amtrak and freights from Chicago up into that area in Idaho. So it's a big, long line that gets compromised when it gets into that zone. So consequently, you are you're in a situation where you can't run trains on that track. But that's something to let you know about. The other thing is, I saw that in a helicopter crash in Taiwan, in Taipei, or not too far from Taipei, the main Taiwanese general that runs their defenses against the Red Chinese and against anybody who would come against Taiwan, he was killed in a weird helicopter crash. Kind of out of the blue helicopter crash. So that tells me that somebody probably in the Red Chinese took out their main rival in terms of the Taiwanese military, and that that will throw that particular military into disarray. And the timing of that, to me, is what, shall we say, very suspect. I would also say this, is that with all of the earthquakes and stuff going on, I've talked about in the last few days and shown some people some mimic. It's not on there right now, but last couple of days, and then a week or so ago, I talked about massive amounts of energy being developed in the Arctic Circle. And that's either from the Russians or from ancient fallen angel technology. Now, if you don't believe in that, then that's your problem. Then just call it the Russians. But it could be either or. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever listened to Steve Quayle, or if you've been to any of his seminars, you read any of his books, you would know exactly about the Anunnaki and the fallen angels. If you read Zechariah Sitchin, you know that the Anunnaki are probably the fallen angels, okay? And it's interesting also, just as an aside, for those who have read Sitchin over the years and that kind of stuff, is that the highest rank in numerical rank of their leadership in the Anunnaki was Anu, who was the father, their father Anu or Anu, and he, and isn't it interesting, on the back of the dollar bill it says Anuit Coeptus. Isn't that interesting? Anu it Coeptus, right? But Anu was a 50, but the general on this earth was called Enlil. He was one of the two half-brothers of the Anunnaki, the other being Enki. The first one to come down was Enki. Enki was the one that was part reptilian, okay? Part reptilian, had scales, some kind of scales on the skin. But he was the half-brother of Enlil, and they were the ones that ruled ancient Sumeria, who came down and started all of the scenarios, the agricultural and all of the stuff in ancient Sumeria, and also started to mine the gold. They first tried to get it out of the water, and couldn't get enough as easily as they thought. So then they discovered the deposits ancient times back in Africa and mined the gold so they could put that in the atmosphere of the planet Nibiru. And so anyway, 2020, 20 plus 20 is 40, okay? 40 was the rank of Enlil. So that tells me in certain significance that this might be a year when the Anunnaki have come back to reassert themselves. We have a lot of this earthquake activity, all the magma flows, all the stuff that Brother Quayle is discussing, the Cascadia faults, all the different faults and things that are going wild, the Puerto Rican Trench, the Mariana Trench, all the different stuff, the volcanoes blowing off. This is characteristic of the time when Nibiru or Nibiru gets closer to the United, to the Earth, that it starts to set off all of this stuff. So the closer it gets, the planet of crossing, Nibiru, gets to Earth in its long elliptical orbit that takes about, what, 3,600 years or whatever they say? 3,700 years, they estimate, the long elliptical orbit, that the closer it gets to Earth, the more of this stuff happens. And the ancients called it the planning of crossing, Nibiru, Planet X, whatever you want to call it. The 12th planet, whatever you want to say. But that particular aspect of it is causing, I believe, a lot of things to fluctuate in terms of this planet. I think the wobble of the planet changes. I think the resonance of the planet, the frequencies have been changing. The magnetic fields are all shifting. All of these things are just going crazy. At the same time, however, you have people on this planet who are agents of Lucifer and the Illuminati, and they're playing games with scalar weapons. Back and forth, tit for tat, using scalar energy. And right now I'm looking at the North Atlantic domain on the tropic.ssec.wisc, that's Wisconsin.edu. This is the MIMIC, MIMIC-TPW2M, MIMIC, TPW2M. And this is showing that there is somebody using out in the middle of the Atlantic is using a scalar weapon to pop it towards Africa, okay, towards the African coast. And then also we've got some activity that I've seen down in Australia, which is precluding rain from coming down into Australia. So somebody is manipulating the drought in Australia, and I'm telling you, these people are standing on the beach. In one spot, there's like 4,000 people that were standing on the beach because you could not, you know, could not get, you couldn't go the other way because the fires are all starting to run together now, and it's just terrible. So let me look at Australia and Fiji and see if that's still there. The domain, you can look at all these different sections of the planet. Yes, there's a major, major scalar weapons are attacking from two different directions. They're heading into Australia, and they're precluding the rain or the moisture from coming down from what I would say Malaysia, Indonesia, in that area. They're preventing it from coming down into Australia. So the weather is being manipulated right now. And one of the reasons they would manipulate it is so that you believe climate change is real, you see. And it's going to be one of those items that they're trying to destroy people and do what? Ordo ab chao. Lucifer is using his minions to create chaos on the planet. And his highest minions are the fallen angels, okay? And then the demons that they then release at various portions where Jesus had put them into the abyss, you see. But if you look at the MIMIC, M-I-M-I-C, all right, dash TPW2M, And if you look at the real-time product view in the domain of Australia and Fiji, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, if I go to North America, let's see what I see for North America right now. Why is this important? Because it actually is killing people. Look at all the animals that have been killed as well in terms of Australia. It's killing, all of the wildlife, and they're running for cover. Right now in the United States, I'm not seeing that much here, although we were getting hit down through the Great Lakes and then on into the Puerto Rican Trench. But I tried to make that famous a little bit by putting that out to a lot of people, so it may have gotten to the right people, and they may have stopped for a little bit. But that could just as easily be, if not the Anunnaki or the fallen angel types, it could just as easily be the Russians, okay? In Australia, it could be the Red Chinese doing it. They have that capability and are getting better at it as well. Now, I would urge you to look at that kind of stuff and track it on a daily basis. And if you see something, let me know and just send it to me. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you also look at the gold and silver prices are going up. Gold's up to $15,27.70 and silver's at $17.98. Well, if you were back a few weeks ago, we were down in the 1400s for silver. $14 range, not too long ago, and in the 1400 range for gold. So we're going way up, and there's getting to be some stuff getting ready to happen in the money, on the money side of things. And why is the United Nations? Why is it that they're hiring new positions, hiring English-speaking disarmament officers for United Nations troops? And they're doing the hiring. They're hiring a lot of it up around Fort Drum, New York, up in that area where they train a lot of UN forces, where they train a lot of what you would call national paramilitary groups or interior ministry-type troops. In other words, shock troops like they used to have in Russia, in the Soviet Union, shock troops to go and put down the insurrection or put down the factory that went on strike just go in and raise total havoc with anybody in a certain region or province or what have you, like Virginia maybe, for instance. And now you got this Governor Northam. Blackface Northam, he is a traitor, a treasonous piece of crap. He's the one that wants to kill the babies after making them comfortable and then checking with their mama to see if he should jab them with the needle in the head or not. Of course, he'd rather make sure they got him right so he could sell the baby parts, probably. Good Lord, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what, if there was ever a bolt from the blue, something should happen, that the Lord Jesus should want to have a bolt from heaven strike down, somebody of these people who do and want to kill these babies all the time. It's just beyond me. But I'll tell you, that is an evil that you cannot cut with a knife. You can't. It's so evil. It's so stench. It's so bad that it has reached heaven. And there's no repentance as a nation or as anything for it. There's a lot of people who fight against it. A lot of people who try to uphold the righteousness of the Lord and to respect the life of a baby. But I'm telling you, these Luciferians are the top slots. And then now you got the big money coming into Virginia, buying up the legislatures. From Bloomberg and probably Soros and allegedly maybe the Rothschilds feeding Soros and maybe feeding Bloomberg too. Why? Because they want to take it over. They want to start this thing off. They want a full-time revolution in this United States. So let's get to the sleepers. Let's look at Iran and Iraq and what's going on. And the fact that they're able to walk right through and then come and start attacking our embassy. And why we didn't have sufficient guards there in the first place to repel them. They should have never got in their visitor center. should have never been able to get in anywhere. And why are we sitting there with, you know, 20 guards or something? Why in the heck don't we have, and incidentally, I don't agree with just sending 150 Marines. That's a substantial force. They could take on 3,000-4,000 people with the right ammo and the right motivation, you know, the right weaponry. But what I'm saying is let's go back to the days of Eisenhower. If you're going to put something in, put the whole damn division in. You know what I mean? Put 50,000 in there and let's get it on, all right? And I'm going to say this. I think we're probably going to go to war, and it's going to be just like Brother Quayle and I talked about in 2004. Steve had me on his program. The Lord had told him to possibly put me on the air. Told him when Steve was in the shower, and he always gets a word from the Lord when he's in the shower. And he said, you know that guy you're talking to, maybe you ought to try him and put him on air as a guest and see if you might want to work him on the air. So we did that, and he said, Hawk, tell me what you think. Go around the horn, what's going to happen in the next few years and coming years. And I went right down the line. I went right to the Gog-Magog War, and I read the Gog-Magog War, Ezekiel 38, you know, 39, what's going to go down. And that is starting to happen now. We've had elements of it in place for a while. That is really starting to coalesce. I pray that that doesn't happen, that something would change all of that. But yet, Lord Jesus, you know, would tell you that it's going to get so bad, Matthew 24, that if it were not for the sake of the elect, no flesh would be saved. Now, that does point to a possibility of an Ebola or a pox or a monkey pox or some kind of a thing that would kill a large number of people and make it easy to get. It does point to that, or a possibility of that. But in the United States, you knock the power grid out, 90% of the people die within 12 months. And then years ago, when we looked at that back, you know, just a few years ago in the early 2000s. We looked into that, and all of the things we're saying is that the soonest the grid could be put back up. And this is before Obama dismantled a large portion of the coal-fired plants that were on the grid. But the closest it could be or soonest it could be put back up was about 18 months. Well, by then, 90% of the population is dead. 9 out of 10 people out there would be dead. So now, it brings me to what I'm going to talk about again. Let's talk about sleepers, okay? And this is to the peace officers out there, all the good peace officers. And I heard from a whole lot of good people, a whole lot of good peace officers over the Christmas holidays. And thank you, everybody who sent a card or put a little something in an envelope or whatever. God bless you all. Special thanks out there always to Dunlap, Iowa, and to Bellevue, Washington, and a lot of places, and Old Warren Soul Drive, and also to a Vietnam era canine officer. Or not canine officer, but canine handler, when they made the dogs do a lot of good work back in those days, too, and who then came back and was the deputy sheriff. Much thanks to everybody for keeping Old Hawk into the game. I can't thank all of you on air or mention every particular town. I try to do it, but I've been ill over Christmas here, and I am been a little behind on saying thank you, or if I know your email, to write you an email. So I will say right now, thank you to everyone, and may the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. So, ladies and gentlemen, sleepers. The Iranians have got a large number of sleeper agents, Hezbollah, different people inside the United States, and they've been playing around here for years. Go back to about 2005, and those who used to read the Quayle Hagman report that used to come out every month, and there was a forum back then That's when Steve Quayle identified and Doug Hagman verified at least one of the particular ones where Steve, I'm going to tell you the exact number. There were 25 nuclear devices that were planted along the East Coast, and that was being bragged about by the back then the head of Iran, okay? But now those were being done with assistance from other people because as the MMB, the Mighty Men of Valor, with teams, you know, led by El Dottore's son, Kevin, and others, that they went and found and disarmed 24 of the 25. And the last one, I believe they had a little battle on the streets of, let's say, what's that place in, in Baltimore where they have all the, fish joints and bars and stuff. It's along the inner harbor there. Anyway, forget the section of it. It's a famous section. But anyway, the wharfs or whatever. But I, the point, it's that point deal, whatever it is. But I think there was a little gun battle on the streets, and they finally got the last item, the last hot item or hot bucket of sun, and they couldn't disarm it because it was one of the latest and greatest devices, allegedly, out of Los Alamos or Sandia. So where did that come from? And how did that get into the hands of Iranians or of somebody else posing as Iranians? Who knows? Because that was also the era when old Dark Dove Hunter allegedly was involved with getting into the traffic in the nuclear weapons to try to create a war with Iran. You recall that. You recall how there was down on the Houston Ship Channel a device that was on a boat, and then there was a particular time period when the MMB went in and there was a trap laid for them. But somebody warned the MMB that there was a trap there because of what was overheard on HF comms back in those days, and it sounded like a trap, and a warning was given to the MMB, and they were able to grab one. That was going to be used, allegedly, there at that big old refinery down there at Texas City or something, one of the old refineries. And allegedly that was being done by a Dark Dove Hunter's crew and faction. But that was put a stop to. But that last one on the East Coast back about 205 there, whatever it was, 204, 205, I think it was 205, that they had to take it out into the deep trench off of Maryland there and take it on down and then blow it without without disarming, but blow it without setting off the nuclear weapons. And then that caused a major fish kill. And then they had to suppress all of the data from all of the university seismographs and all the stuff. And if you looked at that time period, there was this massive fish kill off of Maryland. Just fish coming in on the beach like crazy everywhere for about a week or so. Unexplainable fish kill, you see. And then, I mean, beaches were shut down, the whole nine yards. And then also you would see that there was the seismographic data, all the seismographs, the universities from, you know, Boston down to Florida were on the fritz, although ones in Europe picked it up and ones further back, say like in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois at universities were able to pick up the seismograph or the information about the major explosion in that deep trench and off of Maryland there. Now, that brings me to the sleepers and the fact that the guy that was leading the charge outside of the embassy in the green zone there in the last few days was a guy named Baghdadi Heidi Al-Amri, and he runs the Badr Group, an Iranian militia Badr Group that's supplied by the Revolutionary Guards with the money. And that money was given to them, to those old Revolutionary Guards, you know, millions and millions and billions of dollars, a lot of it in cash, was given to him by Barack Hussein Obama. And then back in 2011, old Hadi El-Amri, Baghdadi Hadi El-Amri, was a guest at the White House. And, of course, Valerie Jarrett, who is Obama's henchwoman, you know, and still is, allegedly. She is Iranian, and also the family are communists, but of Iranian descent. So she was possibly now still running some of the show for Obama and for the Luciferians. I don't know that, but it's allegedly she could be doing it out of his house in Calorama, which was their HQ for a while, and they were using the Soros money and allegedly calling the shots of all the Antifas and the Black Lives Matters and all of the revolutionary tactics ongoing with the Acorns and the different unions and all the things during the 2016 elections, and they're still going on today. Well, now the Antifas and all these people are taking firearms training, learning how to shoot, learning how to reload, learning how to kill with the firearm, you see, and fight better. And then now, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, and then now people like Governor Northam want to take your guns in Virginia when 91% of the counties are going against them, and now he wants 18 special officers, law enforcement officers, to deal just with this. It's going to break Virginia into regions is what it's going to do. 18 officers, that's 3 sixes, isn't it? That shows you the authorship of Northam. Northam, you are nothing but a Luciferian scumbag. You're a tyrant who wants to... What part of the Second Amendment don't you understand shall not be infringed? You want to create a civil war, you're going to go down in history as somebody who created a civil war in the United States again. Only this time you're doing it for the purposes of total chaos and destruction of up to 90% of the population in the United States. So that little g, God, little g, Lucifer, can come on and be attempt to be a counterfeit of Lord Jesus. Now there's getting to be protests and stuff, but at the 20th of this month is when I think the legislation is first going to start getting passed here. And there's going to be some demonstrations coming up at various meetings and what have you, hearing type meetings on this legislation. And you better do something, but you can send a postcard and you can say, do not be a tyrant. Leave the Second Amendment alone. You know, you can just say, leave the Second Amendment alone. What do you not understand shall not be infringed. Something like that. You don't use bad words. You don't use all of that. You say, Governor Northam, you're a tyrant. You know, why do you want to take away the Second Amendment rights of your population and to start a civil war? Send it to them on a postcard so that everybody in the mail departments can see it. Don't put your name on it unless you want to. Just put your town or whatever you're from. Just put the address and send it. And they'll start getting semi-truckloads full of them, and they'll start to get the idea that maybe a lot of people in the United States are watching what it is that old Northam is doing. But how much money did he get paid? And he's supposedly a Democrat, and yet he's wearing blackface and doing all the different stuff and wants to kill all the babies, but he wants to make them comfortable before they jab them in the brain, you know, with the needle or whatever. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I wish my old buddy there in Indiana, who was the canine handler, I wish he could just, you know, whisper in an ear with a command and then release a canine from about 3 states away, you know? Roof, roof, you know? But here's the deal. This Al Amri guy, he's the one attacking the embassy. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I wonder if there was a videotape at this one. And then they try to turn it into Trump's Benghazi. The only thing is, the Marines under Trump here, they let loose with the tear gas and the rubber bullets. My estimation is they ought to put a 50 caliber Browning machine gun up there and go, brrr, you know, or have some saws, just do a little work with a few saws and see how it goes. Or if nothing else, you could just target old Al Amri there and, you know, one of them old Ronnie Barrett specials or McMillan specials and just, you know, put a canoe down through the center, you know. But we're getting to be at a time when something is going to really go bad and go down, and I think this year's the year to do it. 20 plus 20 is 40. That's the rank of Enlil. One of the fallen angels or one of the Anunnaki? So, we have all this wonderful potential sitting here at the same time, but I don't know if we're going to get to see any of it or realize it, because Lucifer cannot have the fact that things would improve. He needs it to degenerate. He needs to kill people to get his devil power up from all the people that have already signed their souls over to him, you see. Everybody went down to the crossroads so they could play their guitar better, you know, or saxophone better, like Slick Willie. Or just the people that are into all of the heavy metal, or just the people into the heavy, weird, crazy, fantasy world stuff, who are playing with the devil stuff all the time, the demons. Well, he wants to kill them all off and get their souls. And then he wants to get everybody who's like the Laodiceans, like they're lukewarm, you know. Lord Jesus said, I'd rather that thou were cold or thou were hot, you know. If you be lukewarm, I spew thee out of my mouth, he said in Revelation. And that's the revelation the Lord Jesus had told to John of Patmos. So is Valerie Jarrett and this Al Amri, are they in collusion at all, I wonder? Is Obama still talking to Haiti Al Amri, the guy who just did the thing there? I don't know. Somebody can ask him, though, you know. Because Obama's the one that did the deal with the Iranians and gave them pallets full of cash, which went right to the Revolutionary Guards, which then funded the very Hezbollah and the Bader Group and all the different people that are in Iraq and all over the world and in peace officers, sleepers inside the United States. So we saw immediately at the same time period here, we see the train derails. We haven't seen a train derailment for a while, but now we just saw one. I would tell you right now, you need to go to your refineries and all them people down in the crossroads, the good folks and peace officers there, the train tracks, the refineries, the oil companies, the bulk storage plants, you know, all the big tank farms and all of that stuff, the fertilizer plants, and all over the United States, where you got the trains running through and you got the oil coming in from the Balkan, or you got the natural gas canisters being put on, or you got the chemical plants working in up and down the river in Louisiana and Geismar and different places like that, all up and down the river. And you know the terminals all over the United States. You got, you know, in New Jersey over there, you know. You got the big refinery there. You got all the stuff. You got very few of them. Well, those would be likely targets, wouldn't they? Pipelines, likely targets. all kind of stuff, grain elevators, all kind of places that could get hit. And I want to tell you something, peace officers, start doing an extra round at night around your key facilities. Talk to the people that are security for them and to tell them to put two and two together and to understand that if we go to war against Iran, that the Iranian sleepers are going to be looking for targets just like theirs. If you don't tell them, they'll never know, because everybody is sitting out there about like a damn FBI agent, not thinking about any of it, but thinking about how to trap Trump and where they're going to get their next ham sandwich for lunch to drink a beer with it. So it's going to be up to the good people, the peace officers. It's going to be up to you to save the stuff in your communities. You got somebody who's got big anhydrous supplies in the farm regions. You got water purification plants or large major dams, Tennessee Valley, Nevada, you know, all different kind of places. Spillways, what have you. Reservoirs. Tell people to start putting their cameras up and to monitor the cameras or do an extra drive around the old reservoir lake tonight. You know what I'm saying? Looking for something. Check your camera. See if there's anybody out there playing with vials. Do you remember back in upstate New York? You got New York City and you have some of the stuff that they get some water, and then further up they have a big reservoir up there. Do you remember back about, oh, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where they caught the Pakistani guy and his wife and everything up there, and they were getting ready to pour stuff into the lake? Do you remember that? To poison the water supply of New York City? And then, ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to what I'm wanting to talk about, too, is planning. It's getting down to planning now. It's getting down to planning. We're at the stage to where you've got to make sure and double-check your stuff that you're kind of ready to go. And if you've not thought about it, you need to think about, where am I going to go? If this happens, if this goes down, do I have nuclear, biological, and chemical gear for my family? That's a good question. You might say, well, what do you mean, Hawk? What kind of... Go, and I'm not affiliated with these people. I just know they have a large supply and selection of good quality, brand new stuff. Make sure that you can get it, and they've got it on hand, and they can ship it to you immediately. But you can look at approvedgasmask.com, approvedgasmask.com, or something like that. Let me just take a look. I probably have got that right here. I can tell you what it is. approvedgasmasks.com, and you go up there. Let me just do that. You go up there, and it's got gas mask. Now, here's another thing. Child gas mask systems and pet shield systems. If you've got a dog or cats or horses or whatever it is, you might need to put in a positive pressure type system over a cage. You need, for children, they can't use a regular gas mask. You got these hoods that go over them and protect them. You've got all kind of stuff. Like, I like M95, military 95 gas mask filter, approved gas mask. You can get chemical protection suits, and you can get a whole kit. And that's the best thing to do. And then you can get different levels of suits. You can get different levels of suits, everything from a Lank CPO, Chemical Protective Outer Garments, Official Protective Apparel, the Center for Domestic Preparedness, hosted by the DOJ, where the first responders train in live chemical and biological warfare agents. You can get those. You can get... other ones that have the real strong undergarments that could go with those as well, with the chemical boots, the gas mask, the chemical suit tape, where if you get a tear in the tape, you put the in your suit, you put chemical tape on it. There are full safety kits where you can get all the items in it, and you can get them at different levels Let me just look here real quick just to tell you, okay? Let me just look here real quick so that you know and understand. Premium Evolution 5000 kit, okay? You get a mask, you get the hood, you get a canteen, you get a special tactical military gas mask, overhead system, fire-resistant pouch, a 40-millimeter NBC military spec filter, a Tychem F suit, which is like a Tyvek F, and NSL special butyl gloves, okay? That's about $259 for all of that. $259. You can get a single domestic preparedness kit, gas mask kit, with a Tyvek, Tychem SL suit and some, basics, $247. Economical one person protective mask kit, SGE 150 mask, NBC preparedness filter, light chemical suit, latex gloves, nitrate gloves, and that's $189. You get on down, you can do deluxe person protective kit, et cetera, et cetera. But go to approvedgasmask.com, look at the different, offerings they have so that you can, pick you something up. You do not want to use surplus stuff. You want brand new stuff. Surplus stuff may have cracks in it. Gas masks and things like that have shelf lives on them, okay? So in terms of that, you may want to take a look and see what you got going there and see what you're up to in terms of picking up some of the items that you will protect your family with. You also need to take a look at the book, you know, that you can get online, I believe, How to Survive a Nuclear Explosion, How to Survive a Nuclear War. And that was originally done out of Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And that you can probably download. It tells you all the stuff about expedient shelters, shelters you can do in your basement, the type of things you're going to need. Holly Dale's book, Dare to Prepare, excellent book to get. That'll tell you all about it. She'll give you all the information on what to store. And incidentally, in terms of food storage, people say, well, you need at least 6 months. No. You need at least a year if you can, but you can get anything you can get is better than nothing at all, and you get one more can of chunky soup. That's another ration for one person, you see. Another ration for one person. So, consequently, that is something that you need to look at. That train derail, by the way, that was up in Idaho at let's see where that was at. Of course, they won't tell you now. I'm looking at the thing, and it's past the time on the story. Anyway, all I know, ladies and gentlemen, is Virginia's getting ready to pop. Colorado's getting ready to pop. I've been asked about the fact about the drones and how allegedly there's a supposedly a nuke missing at Warren Air Force Base, and there might be, because there were nukes missing back during Dark Dove Hunter's Day that got purloined or somehow mixed up on the list or taken out without permission, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or with permission of a vice president, allegedly, but not permission of a president, you know, that kind of thing, where allegedly that took place, and they ended up on the sidelines on the side of the runways at Barksdale in Louisiana, and they allegedly were bound to be taken and used either in that Texas operation down in there, or to be taken and to be utilized over in the Persian Gulf. And then the plan back then was allegedly was for the Dart Dove Hunter type faction to create their own fast boats that were images or duplicates or facsimiles thereof of the Iranian fast boats, and to put one of the nukes or something on one of those boats to swarm an aircraft carrier and to blow an aircraft carrier, a U.S. aircraft carrier with a nuclear weapon, but it would have been done. It would have been a false flag, and then that would have caused unleashed total hell on Iran. But we're about ready for the time to where those who have the TR-3Bs, those who have the TR-4s, the TR-6s, the big stuff, the stuff that is like Carillion battle cruisers out of Star Wars, those kind of things, the solar warden craft, where you have particle beam weapons, you have all kind of zapping weapons, lasers, particle beams, you got all kind of nuclear weapons, you got missiles, you got the hypersonic and all that stuff. But it might be time to find the deep underground bunkers of those that are, running the show in Iran. Or maybe you're just going to choose Natanz and a few of the other cities and choose those facilities where they've got their stuff and put the Zapola on them. Maybe President Trump, which I don't think he understands the full capability or the tectonic warfare, the scalar warfare. He put the total space force in the hands strictly of the Air Force. And that may or may not be good, because you go to the Air Force Academy and they're running witchcraft and pagan and all kind of weirdo stuff out there in their deal. But if you put a Christian cross on your door, then you get set down before the man and, dressed down, 10 stories below. And then they send you back to the MK Ultra lecture where they hypnotize you and put plant stuff in you. So don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight, ladies and gentlemen. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Do not let your guns get taken away. Keep Old Hawk in mind, and tomorrow night we got a special guest on Friday night. Special guest. Do not miss the show tomorrow night. Special guest. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you.